You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles and turn in closing today to Romans chapter 12. It's been a wonderful week. You've been wonderful people up on the balcony, the lower floors. Thank you for your involvement, your obedience, your heart, your tenderness. I've watched the invitations and I've watched how you've come forward and prayed and sought God. We've had folks saved, surrendered to preach, come to Golden State Baptist College, and all that is exciting. Now let's go home and do something about it. I heard one of the preachers probably 25 years ago said this on the closing morning. He was preaching and he said, some of you are all fired up for God right now and you're going to get on a bus, and later in the day or tomorrow when you leave, after many hours, you're going to get irritable. It's going to be hot, people are going to be tired, and you're going to get mad on the bus and lose and let the devil take everything away from you in a moment of frustration. And just enjoy the journey. Kids, I wish I could tell you, you live a perfect life. You're going to still sin. You're going to have to get right with God every day. You're going to have to confess your sin. You're going to have to just get right with your family, your parents, your siblings, all through life. That's part of it. You're going to have to learn to say to your wife, I was wrong. Remember that? We learned a lot on that one. But on Monday night, I talked to you just in welcoming and said, I want to talk to you about the will of God. And I want to close today in these last few moments, and Brother Flood will wind everything up. The will of God. This is very sobering to think. Most of you will never find it. You won't seek for the will of God. You'll sacrifice the will of God. In this room, there will be multiple suicides. In this room, there'll be multiple that will deny the faith. In this room, there'll be many alcoholics and drug addicts. In this room. In this room, there's going to be many divorces, many adulteries, many babies born out of wedlock. There'll be many abortions. That's very sobering, very, very saddening. It's sad to think about that. It's going to happen. This is our 41st year. I've been at this thing all 41. I don't want to admit what I'm going to admit. I'm positive of this. I'm the oldest man in this room right now. I'm the oldest person in this room. I doubt if anybody's older than me. You're smarter than me in computers and all these things. You're way above me. But you're not smarter than me in experience. Laban said, I have learned by experience. And after I've been with this for so long, I know by experience the things I just told you are going to happen are going to happen. It's a very sad thing to think. You know, our Lord, okay, let's look at his success rate. The greatest success rate that Jesus had was 25%. There are four soils. One soil, they got their heart's heart hardened. One soil, they dureth for a while. They stayed with it for a while, and it died. Only one soil was good. 25% was the highest success that Jesus ever had. By the way, that's what is in universities. Any state, secular university, only 25% that begin their freshman year graduate, and it's getting smaller and reduced every single year. I'm thankful we don't have that success rate much higher. Our Lord's second success rate was 10%. There were 10 lepers, one came back with gratitude. 10%! He is God, and he had 25%. And by the way, another success rate was zero. Because all the disciples forsook them and fled. But I can tell you this, young people, God has such a great will for your life. On Sunday, on Monday night, I mentioned to you the will, the word will. When we said God, what do you mean God's will? It just means God's desire. Say it, it's what? God's? Desire. God has a desire. All the ladies say that. God has a what?
Desire.
A desire. Men, you know there's a second word that identifies it. It means God just has a plan. All the men say that together. Ready? What does God have for your life? Ladies, what does he have? Ladies, what does he have? Men, what does he have? Men, what does he have? Ladies, what does he have? And you know, there's one more word that identifies it. It's the word purpose. It's purpose. Oh, you ought to live with purpose. In my prayer journal, I've written down the 10 reasons why I believe I'm alive and why I was placed here on planet Earth. And I won't go through them all, but they all begin with C's. I'm here for Christ. And I normally sing to the Lord, Christ for me. But that's my purpose. I'm here today for, to me, to live as Christ. And then it's my companion, happens to be a letter C too, Cindy. And then it's our children and grandchildren. And then it's this church. And then it's this college. And then it's this city. And then it's this county. And then it's this state of California. And then it's this country. And then it's my co-laborers. So I tried to talk to all the leaders I could this week and the preachers I could and you pastors. Why could, we're co-laborers together. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm supposed to accomplish. I wish I could say I've accomplished it all the time. But you see, God had a plan. God had a will for my life. Ladies, a will means what?
Desire.
Try it again, ladies. A will means what?
Desire.
Man, it means what? Together, all of the last one, what does it mean? A
purpose.
God has a purpose for your life. It's wonderful. You know, it's not my job to tell you your purpose. It's my job to help you find your purpose. And as I mentioned on Monday night, the purpose, ultimate purpose, you will throw away your ultimate, because yeah, I'm in love with this girl. I'm 14, I'm in love with her. You're probably not gonna marry her. But you are so wound up with this girl, so wound up with this guy that you will throw, look, I'm all for fall in love, good night, I did, got married, been married for December 52 years, I love it, it's wonderful. Can't imagine living without her. We want you to get married. And we want you to leave our house. We got plans for your room. We want you to get married. We want you to have kids. We want you to have a good life. And you know what? If our kids in this school and our church come to me and say, I believe God wants me to be a medical doctor. I think the last time we counted was that 78 people in our church, our doctors, our nurses, are in the medical field. I'm thankful. I'm proud of that. That's wonderful. Helping people. There are Christians out there too. You know, if God wants you to be a doctor, when I was a sophomore in high school, I thought God wanted me to be a medical doctor. And so I took a class in science, and after doing so poorly in science, I thought, God doesn't want me to be a doctor. Very obvious. He wanted me to be a dumb old preacher, I guess. But God didn't want me to be a doctor. God, maybe that's what God has for you. Maybe, ladies, you'll never work a full-time job outside the home. You know what? Maybe you'll have a terrible life being a wife and a mother. I don't know if you can get any higher than that. I mean, what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to be a wife. What a privilege it is to be a mother. If you take the letter M, which stands for mom, and you read the rest of that word, mother, it's what your mom is, others. She lives for her children. She lives to guide them and direct them and train them and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word husband means, it's a Latin word, hus, H-U-S, and band, house, band. The man should bind the house together. Fellas, you're going to do good at this. You'll do well at it if you let someone help you. We have weddings here all the time. And here's this guy. He's been a good guy and a good Christian, obeys the word of God. But the problem is he's never been a husband. He doesn't know how to be a husband. So I learned about it. Oh, you're going to have to experience it. I watched the best dad in all the world, but when I became a husband, my wife, I thought, my dad never acted this way, but I thought I speak, she jumps. Brother Robinson, one day my wife said, I'm not a jumper. Sister Dora, can you hear her saying that? I can too. Yes, I can. Our first year, we had a little struggle. I thought, what's wrong with this girl? You know what was wrong with that girl? She married an idiot. I had to learn how to be a husband. And that sweet wife, she had already got a jump on me because her mother had passed away, and she came home from Bible college and helped raise those kids and cook for those kids and laundry for those kids and all those things and clean the house and was there for her dad, ate in her family. God has a will for your life, kids. It might be the mission field. I'm talking about what a joy to go to a mission field and do something with your life. So, well, I wanted new cars. Well, Rick Martin went to the mission field 48 years ago. He has never owned a car. I was over there preaching in his place one time, and by the way, he's started 16 Bible colleges. I've seen the colleges. We helped him build a house, a church, pay a pastor's salary for a year. This church started 400 churches there, but he started probably 1,200 now. They live, their house is about this big right here. It's not nice. Got some old bamboo furniture they've made. The kitchen isn't, I don't believe the kitchen is 5 feet wide. Counters here, and a little walkway. Open sewage outside their door, and water runs 3 days a week. And so they put a galvanized bucket in the tub. If it drips, they save that water. Runs about 10,000 in church. He's had malaria so many times. I don't mean to be rude. Probably about 120 pounds he weighs. But the touch of God is so powerfully on his life. And I said, Brother Martin, our church, we've got so many Filipinos, if they are the only ones that give, and our whole church, let us build you a house. I'll send you builders over here. You probably have, we'll tear this down. We'll build you a house. He lives right on the property. Thousands of people a day come right by from his church, by his house. No privacy, no backyard, no patio, no grass, nothing like that. But he has done the will of God for his life for nearly 50 years. You're going to have to discover the will of God. Look what the Bible says in Romans 12, 2, young people, let's read it together. The Bible says in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I'm going to get to verse 2. We get so wrapped up in verse 2, the rules, the regulations, the convictions. But you are not prepared for rules until you get verse 1. You have to present your body. You have to present your mind, your life to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2 says, ready? Here we go. Read it. And be not. So on Monday night, we saw, what's the will of God? Just do, find the will of God, the present will of God. Children, obey your parents. That's the will of God. The will of God is to keep yourself from worldly lust. The Bible says this with purity, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your holiness, that you should abstain from fornication and all worldly lust. That's the will of God. It's you just do what the will of God you know. It means to submit, to rank under. It's a military term. Now, there's three things today. Number one, you're going to have to find the will of God. You're going to have to do what? Find the will of God. How do you find the will of God? I'm glad you asked. I'll quiz you on this. You always find the will of God from the Word of God. You find the will of God from what? The Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean, okay, I'm reading a verse, okay, I got to do it. No, you just so read the Bible, 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 that when a decision comes, God will give you directions. You've already, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's why you're in the Word of God. God says in Revelation 1:3, I'll bless them that read the Word of God, that hear the Word of God, that keep the Word of God, that do the Word of God. God said if you just hear it read, He's going to bless you. Get in the Word of God. Why? Because right now, the primary issue in your life is to know the will of God as a teenager. You find it from the Word of God. I want to say, secondly, you find it by praying to God. How do you find the will of God? By the word. And secondly, by prayer to God. Seek God's face every day. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to tell I'm sorry? I was wrong. The Holy Spirit will convict you of that. He'll tell you. I've been where he was with his wife. When I'm right, I do not. And normally I'm so right that I become wrong. Our church, that was just years ago, I don't even know what it was. We got a little spat probably 50 years ago. A little spat together, nothing. I mean, I didn't throw plates, but somebody did. I didn't throw pans and pots, but somebody did. No, my wife's never raised her voice at me. Now, she agitates at times. We know what we're talking about, Brother Everson, don't we? I see you back there. You know, you're going to have conflicts. But we purpose, we were never going to let the sun go down on our wrath. Stay up all night if we had to, but I was not going to go to bed mad at her. We had some spat over who knows what, little thing, no big deal. And it was all me. And after about 2 or 3 minutes, you were short with your deal. I was short. I came back to my wife. It was real quick. I said, you know what, I'm sorry. And she said something that ticked me off. Ladies, I said, I'm sorry. She said, well, thank you. We're back to square one, but I mean, I'm really ticked now. Thank you. I mean, my feet started burning and it just started coming up and it came out of my mouth. I said, well, what about you? Girls, and she said, you girls are so mean. She said, we are, exactly. I heard that. And you got Golden State, you come to Golden State, right? Oh boy, another one. Another Jezzy coming, Jezebel! All right. What church are you from?
I'm from Victory Baptist. I'm from Amazing Grace Baptist.
Yeah, see? It's amazing how bad people gravitate. Two different churches. You've been good listeners all week, girls. You've been great. And you'll be really great at Golden State. She said, I didn't do anything wrong. You got to be kidding me. Round two, I got upset again. And I came back a few minutes later. I said, I am sorry. I said, but help me with that. She goes, honey, you wanted to negotiate. You didn't want to apologize. And she taught me something. I'll say sorry if you say sorry. That's not. How do you find the will of God? By the Word of God. By prayer to God. The place of God.
Yes.
Go to church. I saw Brother Silva here somewhere. You know, through the years we've pastored together, all these decades, and if people would just go to church and stay in church. See, you could relate with me about this thing, that most will fall out. Most of this great crowd's going to fall out of church. They'll probably write about you on Facebook, how bad you are, because you preach the Bible. You want to find the will of God, you go to the house of God. If you have a youth hour, go to youth hour. Get to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, get there on time. Man, I got a cold today. Well, go to, get out of bed, you lazy lugs, especially men. Get out of bed and go to church. You know, you find the will of God through the word of God, for prayer to God, to the place of God. Surrender to God. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated. Surrender your will, my will to God. I won't want to be a preacher's wife. But what's your purpose? Maybe God created you to be a preacher's wife. So I'm not from a good Christian home. Well, neither was Tiago. And all these other men you heard speak today, this week. Brother Panera wasn't from a good Christian. I don't know what you're, don't blame your background. The Apostle Paul was consenting unto the murder and the arrest and the hailing of women and men and putting them in prison. And he was there consenting to the death of Deacon Stephen. Talk about a bad past. But you know, maybe all that you've experienced, God's preparing you to be a good pastor's wife. A good assistant pastor's wife, a good principal's wife. Don't have any issue why you cannot fulfill the will of God. So how do we find the will of God? Number one, quickly, word of God. Secondly, prayer to God. Thirdly, the place of God, the house of God. Fourthly, surrender to God. Number five, you find the will of God from the man of God. I would, if I were you, I would sit down with your pastor, or your youth pastor, or pastor's wife, or some people that have been saved a while, and talk to them about. They're not going to tell you what to do, but they're going to help guide you. It may take people say, they'll call their husband or wife just had a fight. I never see them that same day because they're too upset. And normally, if you give them 24 to 48 hours, I'll say, you know what? We don't need that appointment. Well, then I'll say, yes, you do. Come on in. They'll say things when they're angry. Sometimes I'll say, I'll meet you, what's it about, and we'll talk. And if it's nothing urgent like adultery or something like that, I said, let's do this. I'll fast a meal or two this week for your marriage if you'll fast. And maybe we'll meet next week and I'll talk to you about your marriage. I'm reading my mail yesterday and here's a good family, a pastor 35 years, and they moved out of the state, they joined another church, but they never told their pastor. I'm thinking, why? How do you invest 35 years? That happens to me all the time. How do you invest and you don't, I'm not telling you to stay here, but would you at least let me pray with you? During COVID, I was preaching outside, a sweet couple came to me and they said, we owe everything to this church. We got saved here. We thank the Lord. You've been a father and a pastor to us. It's just wonderful. Our kids are all saved. And they said, this is our last service. I said, where are you going? They told me a distant state in the Midwest. They said, here's why we're coming. Do you know of a good church in that area? That's the last thing they asked. It should have been the first thing. You find the will of God from the man of God. You find the will of God from service to God. We have a little saying around here because I've learned it in my life. Everything is always yes. When God gives you an opportunity, young man, could you come and mow the lawn at the church? Well, let me pray about it. What are you praying about that for? Just do it. Just do it. I wonder if you can come clean the restrooms all summer at the church. Well, let me talk to my mother. That means I don't want to do it, so I'm going to use my mother. No. Get to the church and clean the restroom. Somebody has to. I wonder if we could have, I wonder if you kids could go out door knocking. Well, I don't know. What time? 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Ooh. Oh, You're thinking, I won't even be up. I haven't had my Cocoa Puffs. I've not had my cartoons. I'm not ready till noon. And I know you don't eat Cocoa Puffs, but I didn't have my Lucky Charms. I love those Lucky Charms. I like those little things I can read. Oh, it's fun. The answer is yes. It's always yes. I'll do that. You're going to be approached, maybe like I was. I was a freshman in college, I think maybe it was sophomore, and they said, would you take a second grade boys Sunday school class? My answer was yes. Yeah, I'll do that. I didn't see me preaching and pastoring, but I felt like maybe with God's help, I could be a Sunday school teacher. Could you be the janitor of our church? And I really didn't have to pray about it. I just said, yes, I'd be glad to be the janitor. We'll pay you $25 a week to be the janitor and be the music director. And I had to drive 75 miles to get there one way and go back. I paid the gas. I didn't make any money, but the answer was yes. You find the will of God by answering the present will of God. Yes. Can you say yes? Say it together. 1, 2, 3. Yes. It's always yes. Yes to your mother. Take the garbage out. Make your bed. It's always yes. Can you cut the lawn? Yes. Can you wash the car? Yes. And after a while, they ought not to have to ask you that. Car's dirty. It's Saturday. You wash the car. For the Lord's Day, you mow the lawn. You clean the garage. You sweep the carport. Whatever it might be. Number one, we have to find the will of God. We've got more, but I'm out of time. You find it very easily from the Word of God, from the place of prayer, the place of God, the house of God. Get there by surrender to God. You find it from the man of God. You find it by always saying yes. Just whatever opportunity comes, just, it's always yes. These pretty little girls that stood up here, my wife and I were talking last night, and there's many, 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 many times more we could have added to that group that are adult ladies in our church now, just sweet as can be. But you know, really, looking at their lives, and I watched them on that screen. We got a small one. From the back of their head, I didn't know who they are. I always watch that screen. And everyone, sweet as can be. But everyone always, yes, I can do that. I'll do that. And you have ups and downs as teenagers and as pastors. You'll have ups and downs. Find the will of God. Secondly, and I'll be done quickly, you fulfill the will of God. Yes. Just fulfill it. Just do it. I love it when teenagers can still ride to church on Sunday with their parents. Somewhere along the line, most of them get on buses and become bus workers. And I'm just so proud of that. But you know what? They are so faithful to that. It's not 1 week in, 1 week out, 1 week on, 1 week off, 2 weeks in, 2 weeks out. Just, you're fulfilling the will of God. I'm to find the will of God. Number one, what's in the will of God, what I have to do? Find the will of God. Secondly, what? Fulfill the will of God. And thirdly, finish the will of God. Just finish it. I don't know when your journey will end. Sister Dominguez, I can't remember your first name right now, I read your sister's track. It was 10 years ago that she, at age, I think 15 and a half or 16, passed away. What a sweet, I don't know where you're at, hon. But, she had fulfilled and finished the will of God for her life. She ran her race. And it'll be a permanent hurt. I know when our niece was killed in that car accident, it's been 28 years now. I still think of it all the time. You're going to have to find the will of God, kids, and fulfill it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. And then finish it. You know what's going to keep you from the will of God, and I am wrapping it up. Somebody. You did run well. Who hath hindered thee? You show me your friends. I'll show you your future. You know. I'll show you your future. I can tell you your future. I can tell you that this man had good friends. Not probably a lot. I had basically one friend out of our good youth group growing up. I could tell, and I had a lot of, they were all, I was polite with all of them, and we'd eat things together, and all this, we went to youth hour together. But I realized I couldn't spend the night over at their house. I realized they were always tipping. But I had one good friend, and he kept me straight. But you know what, even that one good friend, what happened after 50-some years? He's living the rest of his life in prison. You see, the person that you think, this is my best friend, you probably won't even know this person sitting next to you as your best friend in 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Oh, I think you get to Bible college, and I still have about maybe five preachers that are out of my Bible college that are still alive in my class. And one's in Virginia, and he sends our college $1,200 every. I've never preached there. I've never been there. I've only seen him once or twice in 50-some years. But he sends us $1,200 a year in January for our college. I have another preacher. I was in his wedding. He was in my wedding. And his wedding's coming. His anniversary is the 23rd of June. Coming up in a few days, he'll be married 52 years, 6 months ahead of us exactly. And he's in Michigan, and he sends us students, and he sends us money every month. I have a few preachers left, but they're almost all dead and gone. Or they've changed. They're contemporaries and rock and rolls. See, here it is. You think your friends are so important, but who's really important is your God. What Brother Brown preached about last night. A friend is going to keep you from the will of God. I tell you what's going to keep you from the will of God. I know you're going to think I'm archaic, but I have a cell phone. I have a cell phone. I just left it in that office right there. And I can get baseball scores, sports scores off of my phone. It's set up that way. I like to follow Mike Trout. He's on a disabled list right now because I knew his uncle so well. His uncle would preach here. So I like to follow Mike Trout. It takes just a few minutes to look at what's happening. I like to follow little news that I can read from a right-wing conservative. But people send me, watch this, it's on YouTube. My phone doesn't get YouTube. My phone isn't connected to the internet where I can get all this stuff. When I've had all the phones these years, I always had to do this. I don't want those things. Do you know that this church has a policy? If you mess up with pornography one time, you're done. You don't get a second chance. You have to leave the staff. I'd certainly be brokenhearted if my 14 grandkids had to hear that Papa had to leave. You say, well, you mean you're not a good enough Christian to have that stuff and avoid it? I'm not. God says put no confidence in the flesh. I don't know. In a moment of temptation for wrong, I don't know if I'd be strong enough. I don't think I would be. Fastest group of people getting involved in the pornography right now are women. This society is messed up. I don't see how. Look, I'm not saying you can't have a cell phone. I don't know how you put regulations on it. I don't see how you can ever get married in purity with a cell phone. You're going to mess up. You're too young. It's like our youngest granddaughter's 4, London. If I gave her the keys to my car and say, London, go get my car, bring it over here. She would hurt herself and others. She doesn't know how to drive a car. And young people, we think we can handle this stuff. I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to trip you up. And I don't believe you should ever get married, man here, woman here, excuse me, man here, woman here. I don't think you should ever get married without her knowing the facts of your life, what you've been involved with. If you start a marriage off with dishonesty, you're going to lie your entire marriage. I think a young girl has the right to know what you've been up to. So, well, if I tell her, she probably won't marry me. Probably not. Well, I posted some things on the video, on the internet. It's going to come back to bite you, especially when your kids see it. Mom, what were you doing? What is this about? You know, Brother Nichols, you and your wife have worked enough with teens. Where did you go? I saw you somewhere here. You've worked enough with teens. You've had such great success at Regency. Great. What God's doing there is amazing. You've had a lot of sorrows there, like we all do. I've had more sorrows. I think sometimes Jesus had 75% broke his heart. 90% broke his heart. 100% broke his heart. I don't believe a cell phone is going to get you into the ministry. Now, I'm not saying you can't have one. I don't know how to put, you folks know how to, I don't know how to put parameters on that. I think it's great when your parents can track you, all that stuff, where you're at, what's going on. So I don't know how to tell you that because I'm not a computer man. Young people, you're going to have to want. I look at some of these young adult ladies here in our youth group. I want them to marry godly boys. I look at them, most of them I held when they were born. Those girls right there, I held most of those girls. I'm so glad my daughter got a godly man. All of our kids got good mates. They didn't have children out of wedlock. Don't surrender the future on the altar of the immediate. I don't believe you're going to find the will of God unsupervised. A child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. I don't believe you can find the will of God when, Mom, I'm okay. I'm 14, I know what I'm doing. I'm 17, I know what I'm doing. I don't want, as you get older, as a teenager, a lot of times as a teenage girl, when there's a teenager and a mother, two in the home, there's conflict. Because no home's big enough for two ladies. But you do it right as a teenager, and you're going to watch your mother. I watch my sweet daughters, they and daughter-in-law, they love my wife. They talk to her. You think you talk to your mother every day, Miss Tabitha? Sure you do. She's gleaning from her. If you're not close to your parent, you're not close to God. There's so much more to say. I don't want to stop. Because I think there's so much ahead of you. So you're going to do far. My prayer is always that you do more than God has allowed us to do. You know, here's the sorrow. Here's Demas. Demas was on the missionary trip with Paul at Colossae. He was on a revival team going from city to city. He was right there with the Apostle Paul in Colossae. But 2 years later, Paul's in prison, and Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me. Having loved this present what? World. This world with its glitter, all these men said it this way. It's going to attract you, but I'm going to tell you, it's destroying you. I think of how Demas felt for the world. I think how Judas fell for money. 30 pieces of silver. And when he got it, he threw it back down and said, I don't want it. Ananias and Sapphira, they fell for money and lying. You see, the devil's going to find where you're weak, and that's where he's going to keep attacking you. It might be money, it may be world, it may be the friends, where that's what happened in the book of Galatians.
You did run well. Who hath hindered thee? I marvel that you are so far removed from him that's called you to another gospel, which is not another gospel, Galatians 1:6. Who hath, chapter 3, verse 1, who hath bewitched you, captured you, and changed your heart? You're going to be shocked how much wrong in life you can do. So find the will of God, fulfill the will of God, and then finish the will of God. And one day your journey's going to be over. And you'll look back. I'm not saying it's going to be all success. Might be a lot of heartache. Maybe your kids won't embrace what you are. But your decision is to do the will of God for your life. I wonder if the Lord tarries. If one day God will say, Jack, I'm going to pull the curtain back in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, a great cloud of witnesses. And I want you to look down there at your church. It's really my church. But I put you there for those years. Look what's happening. I don't want to see this thing empty. I want to see it fuller than it's ever been. I want to see the next. And you know, the next pastor is probably in this room. And I'm not planning on leaving out in a casket, though Brother Stroud wants me there. I know he wants me there in that casket. I'm not leaving the next week or two. By the grace of God. The cause of Christ is so, it's going to be great if you get in it. But find the immediate will of God. You know, the Bible says the will of God is gratitude. Giving thanks, for this is the will of God. You know what it is? It's looking at the bus driver on the way home and say, thank you for driving. It's writing a note and making sure that bus driver gets. It's writing a note to your pastor. It's writing a note to your youth pastor. It's writing a note to the workers that are here for you this week. It's going back home and say, Mom, Dad, if you have both of them, if you're being raised by grandparents, whatever it is, I've come home and I'm so thankful I have you as my parent. Our Father, I love these students. I've talked long enough, but I wish they knew how much I just cut out of this. I wanted to say so much more. I pray they'd find the will of God. Oh, we need a generation of young people that find the will of God. Because our mission field right now waiting. There are church buildings that are waiting in America, already built. Talk about church planters. My goodness, we can't even fill the buildings and the pulpits are empty right now. And I pray that you give us some preachers. Oh, they're not a preacher yet. They have to finish high school and college and probably go work with a pastor for a while. But mission fields waiting, Christian schools waiting, science classes, computer classes waiting to be taught. Christian schools, maintenance people, IT people, media people, assistant pastors, associate pastors, youth pastors, and their wives, godly deacons. Oh, there's so many opportunities. Help them to find the will of God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.